Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. John and Dell in the Cheers studios here in Houston. Lance is in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, but not sure exactly where he is at this point. Lance is joining us right now by the hotline, the HRNP hotline. Here on ESPN 97.5. I thought we were connected.
I am. I'm locked out of my room. My room key's not working in my room.
So you left. You connected
and I got locked out.
You went to get coffee.
Yeah, I got locked out. I'm literally walking. I had to go downstairs get it reprogrammed. It's been taking forever because all the scouts are going to weigh-ins this morning, so the elevators are not working quickly. I'm staying at a place called Battle House, which I think Dell would like.
Why would Dell like it?
They got just different. See, I got into my room now. So now my key card works. So
your key card didn't work.
Transition.
So he just hung up to connect to.
He just hung up.
To connect to,
oh,
you know, the actual system he's supposed to be using.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Everything happens.
I'm right here.
But how did your key card not work?
I have no idea. I've never heard of this in my entire life. A key card not work. I just checked in last night.
Well, it actually does happen if you demagnetize it by putting it next to your credit cards or.
Does that happen?
Yes, that happens. Maybe not your credit cards. Maybe your phone. Did you put it next to your phone?
Is the system now not working too?
Oh my!
He's just a disaster. I don't know
what.
Wait, you're.
We can't hear you.
We can't. You're coming in and out.
It's whatever. It's ridiculous.
Is his iPad next to his phone too? And it's demagnetizing his iPhone. His iPad.
I don't know what his problem is.
Oh my gosh! What a mess. What a mess.
He couldn't even be in his room for the start of the show.
He would have been if his key card would have worked if he didn't demagnetize it.
No, but he really needed that cup of coffee that he decided to get 10 minutes before the show started.
Well, everybody needs a cup of coffee.
10 minutes before the show?
Well,
how about we make? I know you're in your hotel room, so you don't have the rush to get to the station or a Starbucks, But maybe we have that settled and ready to go 30 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
So even if he did demagnetize his key card, he would have got back in time.
Well, that's if, you know, you want to be and settled and have everything run smoothly.
Hello?
You mean like a professional?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Lance?
Well, I've been saying hello for like the last 40 minutes.
Well, because we can't hear you.
You can hear me.
Now
Del
we can
didn't
hear
bring
you.
Me up. Del didn't bring me up.
Oh, Del, you didn't bring him up?
Whatever.
He knows that's true. He's trying to make me look bad.
No, I don't have to. You weren't even in your room when the show started.
Del,
I don't have to try.
Del, are you putting his mic up and down and,
no.
and messing
yeah.
with him?
No, probably
I'm not
doing
actually.
That crap.
See, when
Regil probably texted him and told him to, I bet.
When we are on location, a lot of times we'll go, Del will go, okay, mic check, let's see. And we'll talk like this. And so we mic check, 4, 6, 5. And Dell will be like, oh, you're going in and out. And we get him, you know? And so now Dell is returning
it's
the
like
favor.
You did it once.
No.
It's not like this.
Oh, yeah,
happens.
We do it all the time.
And no, but you don't get me every time. No. You did it once. Normally, like, okay, whatever. We'll figure it out. I don't care that much.
Right. But are you doing that to Lance now?
No, I don't care.
I think he is.
I think he is, too. I think he's being a little ball of hate. I think he's moving your mic up and down and so that you look really, really bad.
Do you remember when Dell? You remember when Dell?
Let me see your hands.
Look, I've had my hands above my head a lot of times in my life, so this is a comfortable position for me.
What?
And he's having issues. This is great. This is wonderful.
This is really good radio.
I thought he said he was wired in.
Yeah. What a great start. We're off to a blazing start here on the show. So last night, let's just, I don't know, I guess we'll get Lance in and out whenever he gets in and out, we'll work on that. Last night, Joel, so now are we going to make, is it going to be a gigantic push because they beat the Rockets, they beat the snot out of them, beat by 80, whatever they beat them by last night? And Joel Embiid. Now Joel Embiid, that's all I'm hearing. Joel Embiid, MVP. Joel Embiid, MVP.
Well, I mean, not all of us, but some of us are prisoners of the moment. And now we have to change the entire storyline for the first 40-plus game of the season because of one evening. And this will go away, too. This is one night where Joel Embiid had a great night.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid is a really good player, but he's not the MVP.
Well,
not right now.
He's probably in the conversation.
Yeah,
now.
Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's obviously James, it's Giannis, and he's next on the list. They're a good basketball team, man. They got Corey Brewer now, who is an unbelievable player. I mean, I think we know that. I don't know why the Rockets would ever let a Corey Brewer.
Well, unbelievable can mean a lot of things. Are you
right.
saying like unbelievably great? Or just someone you can't believe is playing in the NBA.
Well, I think that's probably closer.
Okay.
But he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a nuisance for James, and James kind of fell into whatever trap Corey Brewer was selling at the end of the first half.
Right.
Excuse me.
I mean, he is a rat. He's, you know, just a pest on the court. And he was all over James, and he wasn't going to let James. And then he can dunk. And then he's going to get up into James' stuff and be a pest the whole game. And James got the foul. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what Corey Brewer was doing. Although James did get his 37, thank God.
James will score. He'll get his.
Thank God he got his 37.
No one else in the Rockets really got theirs.
Joel Embiid did kill him with that block, though.
Yeah.
And then he gave him a little what for.
Yeah, Joel doesn't mind, after getting stuff done, talking to guards about what he just did to them. Him and Russell Westbrook have this back and forth, which is weird considering they only play each other twice a year. I don't know if this James thing will become something, but yeah, he doesn't mind. When he gets something done, he'll let you know about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The 76, it just shows you where the Rockets are. I mean, that game showed you, look, that they should never have beaten the Lakers the other night, and that's without LeBron. They won that game, and you take it because they should have never lost to the Nets a couple of games ago, but and you certainly take that game, but it shows you where exactly they are without Capella and without Paul.
Yeah, they're. I mean, Kenneth Faried played. I mean, we didn't even mention the best, the huge news that the Carmelo trade did happen, but they cut James Nunnally. Or was it James Nunnally? To get Kenneth Faried on the floor. He played. Didn't matter. They're a bunch of NBA currently a bunch of guys. I don't know what you want to call them, scrap heap guys.
Mm-hmm.
But other than Gordon and really, I mean, even P.J. Tucker's made himself into an NBA player, but he had to scrap and fight to get there. There's not a lot of frontline star power or even frontline like rotation guys on this team right now.
No. This is not it's certainly not a championship caliber basketball team. I mean, they've been doing it with sticks and Band-Aids now for a while, and basically just James Harden throwing in whatever he can. But as Jeff Van Gundy has told us before, somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to score even on a bad basketball team. And this has the potential to be a bad basketball team. They're 5-5 in their last 10. That's about what they are. They're about a 500 team. They need James to go off and be unbelievable if they're going to win basketball games, even against the average teams.
Yeah, and you say 500. They're 500 when James Harden's on a remarkable streak. What if he's just really good? They're not a 500 basketball team when he's just really good.
No.
Not this current roster.
No. So the Rockets were able to trade Carmelo Anthony. They saved about $1.5 million, and they also created a $1.5 million trade exception, and they opened up the roster spot. They finally were able to get rid of Carmelo Anthony. He was traded to the Bulls. They're going to waive him. Somebody, it looks like the Lakers probably pick him up, and we'll see what happens there. I don't know. Listen, it took this long. And they've had to make all kinds of moves. But they did say, listen, I'm certainly not going to browbeat them. I know Charlie has been very critical. I've been like, what the hell? You'll never trade this guy. They were able to get it done. Finally get it done. And I'm certainly not going to, berate them for gaining $1.5 million on the luxury tax exemption. It's not my money. It's not my money. It's Tillman's money. Tillman was probably like, oh, no, you need to trade that, dude. Oh, no. That's $1.5 million. That's money. You know, we're going to cut costs, and we're going to make sure that the guy who sweeps up the arena doesn't make anything more than minimum wage, but we're just going to throw away $1.5 million? I don't think so. If I'm Tillman, I'm like, no. Trade that dude. You mean we had to cut James Nunnally? Oh, well. You mean we weren't able to keep Daniel House? Well, you weren't able to keep Daniel House anyway, but neither here nor there. If you got to make moves, then make the moves, because that's $1.5 million. It ain't our money. So, Tillman, I can understand it. I can understand where they had to get this job done. Kenneth Faried's going to make $917,000. He came in last night. He really hasn't had much of a shot these last couple of years.
No, Denver has made – he's not a priority for them. I mean, with Nurkic there, he's not – is it Nurkic or Jokic? I think it's Jokic. Jokic is there, so he is there. He's their center. There's not a spot for him there. And I think we all heard that. I think Lance has figured out that it's a microphone issue, so he's going to have to go try and find a – because he's connected. It's just a mic thing.
It's a mic thing.
It's a cord thing. So he's going to have to go try to find.
Where are you going to find a mic cord?
I guess if there are other people doing radio shows there.
A mic cord?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just trying
to. Yeah, every hotel just usually has mic cords.
I know, but if there are more people there for the Senior Bowl, someone's doing a show there, he's going to try to see if he can.
That may be the case. Yeah. That may be the case. Yeah, it does sound like a mic issue, huh? 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, Shannon, you want in. We're getting other calls. We will take your calls because it's basically me, Dell, and you right now. 713-780-3776. Just getting it started right here on ESPN 97.5. And right now, I got to talk about man, Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite. You know, I heard a commercial on our air about a thing called Grasshopper that can answer your phone for you. This what I'm giving you is Jeff Aronoff's cell phone. So Here's the thing is you got direct access to Jeff all the time. 713-880-2822. So what, no matter what the case is, whatever you want him to do, whatever big job that you've got, and make this a big job. This is not replacing a couple of bricks in your patio. That's not what he does. He puts in the entire patio. He puts in the entire outdoor kitchen. That's what he does. Or hell, he puts in vanities for entire hotels. He does it all over the state and even in other states. I mean, he is really, really grown and has got himself a huge, huge business now. And you are a big part of it, the 97.5 listener. What you got to do is give him a call, let him come to your home, let him estimate what you need done, and then he gets the work going. This is a great time to do it in the spring. The kids are in school. The workers can come during the day. No kids bothering. Bing, 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 you got yourself a nice outdoor patio, outdoor kitchen, vanity, a new fireplace, whatever it is, countertops, whatever it is. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite. But I'm
still My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 717 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The number to call in to hang out with us here on the show. Shannon is with us here on ESPN 97.5. He is the Saints fan, right? Shannon, you called last week?
Yes, sir, I sure did. And everybody kind of laughed at me and said that it probably wasn't going to happen. I was full of BS. But
well, explain what it is.
Well, we were gifted great tickets, a field pass, and an after-game party invite by the players. And as Drew usually does, he goes to the field after the game and plays with his kids, and we got to meet the players. And Mr. Morstead got it set up to where Drew came over and excitedly signed my calf tattoo. And last night I went to a local tattoo parlor here in Beaumont and had it inked in, and I posted it up on the ESPN Houston website.
You posted it on the website, so we'll go take a look at it. We'll see. Josh, tweet that out. Josh, if you're listening, tweet that out to everybody. We want to see that. So what is your tat? Is it just the Saints emblem?
It's a Saints fleur-de-lis with the Saints above it. I got it in, like, 06, it's been there a long time. I was at the game, and let me tell you guys, I stayed in a very authentic, culturally diverse place in the 7th Ward on top of a bar. And at 2 in the morning after the game when the alcohol was flowing, I'm telling you, the neighborhood I was staying in wanted to strap up and go to the hotel and find the two gentlemen that did not make that call.
I understand, and thank God that cooler heads prevail. Thank God that the referees can leave incognito as opposed to, because if they saw them on the street, honestly, I truly believe that this would have happened, that those referees would have been beaten to death in New Orleans, which is sad, 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 but it's America 2019. Those referees would have been beaten to death by Saints fans. But here's the deal. What was that atmosphere? My buddy went, and he said, oh, my God, dude, it is the loudest freaking place in the world.
Shannon hung up.
Oh, Shannon left. Yeah, I mean, it was what a great atmosphere though for, you know, right up until the very, very end of that game. And like I said, I mean, they really And it was funny because Sean Payton had told the fans, he said, don't just yell when they get to the line of scrimmage. And you saw, how about Jared Goff running out to the wide receiver to tell him something and running back and getting there just in time or not even in time to snap the ball? I mean, you want to talk about a tough, tough place. Whitworth was coming all the way to the center to hear what they were going to do. That was, I'm telling you, I've been in every NFL stadium when I was with the Texans, but I covered the Saints when I was in Lafayette, and that place, when they're good, is the most, it's the loudest and most intimidating place in the NFL. Now, Seattle's pretty damn good, too. Seattle's pretty damn good. But no, I think, and everybody says Kansas City, yeah, but that is an open-air stadium where the sound will leave. In New Orleans, there is nowhere to go. You can't even hear. Honestly, you yell at the person next to you just to be heard. And it certainly affects. You see the way the Rams started. And what the Rams really like to do, and we'll see how Bill Belichick addresses this, the Rams, they like to get up to the line of scrimmage. And it was interesting. At the end of the half, they went into hurry up. And they drove down the field and scored. And I'm watching the game with Yanni, and Yanni goes, they come out in the third quarter and they go three and out. Why the hell aren't they in hurry up? You see what happens. I said, well, at the end of the half, you're playing a lot of prevent so you don't get beat deep. And sure enough, though, Jared Goff hits Cooks over the top. That was their first big over the top play. And that was a huge play, which was shocking that you don't let anybody get behind you in the last minute of a half. You just don't let you to do that. But why the Rams are more effective is because Sean McVay is in Goff's ear right up until 15 seconds left on the clock, and he's able to tell him what audibles and what to do right up until 15 seconds. So they're a lot more effective when they're running hurry up.
And, yeah.
Oh, you're here, Lance?
Yeah. I've been listening to you. You're really on a roll. This is some great stuff, John.
Thanks, Lance.
How's it going?
Anyway.
No, you know, that's been the thing that everyone said forever. Why don't you just run hurry up the whole game? Because everyone will get tired, and you'll end up, your defense will get 37 seconds on the field one time or on the sideline.
Well, you could do it. However, you could do it like the Colts have always, like the Peyton Manning Colts did it.
You can do the sugar huddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do
you
sugar
hurry
huddle.
Up to the line, and you make the defense sit there right up until the play clock runs out. You make them line up and sit there. I remember Dom Capers told me one time, he said, what we're going to do is we're going to stand up. And until, you know what, I'm not going to make them be in their stance all the way up until while Peyton is doing all that crap, because it's a lot harder to be in your stance and ready to go for about 15 seconds than actually when we know he's not going to snap the ball.
Well, and the other thing is, first of all, I couldn't believe how loud that place was. I couldn't believe. And the only way I knew is because the broadcast talked about it, and then you saw the way the Rams responded.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen it where it's been so loud the entire time. I've been to some Aggie games where that place is maybe the loudest open-air place that I've personally ever seen. I've heard Kansas City can get like that, too, and I know Seattle is famous for it. But in the Superdome, and it's always been famous for being noisy or whatever. But that was on a different level. They said that you couldn't, like, at one point you saw that where Sean McVay said, you couldn't hear me. This is towards the end of the game where he couldn't even get a play in because he couldn't, or no, he screwed up. There was like a hot read or something, and he just, like, there was mass confusion before the actual play. And Sean McVay goes, you couldn't hear me? And he just said, no, I couldn't hear you. And I'm like, wow, he can't hear in his headset. They said they couldn't. On the sideline, whoever it was said that one of the players said, we can't even hear him in the huddle. You couldn't hear him in the huddle?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, you saw Goff with his hands over his ears, right, when he's trying to hear the play call come in. And honestly, Whitworth's coming over to the center just to talk to, you know, and while the center's in crouched and ready to snap, just to hear. And Goff runs outside to the wide receiver because there's absolutely no chance that you're going to hear all the way over there. No chance whatsoever. I mean, that place is, it is special. It is, when they're good, that is a unbelievably difficult place to play. But one of the ways to get around that is to play her. Hurry up. so that you know, you're using all hand signals and you're not trying to talk, you're not trying to communicate, you've got the defense off balance, the crowd is not nearly as effective, you're not getting false starts or delay of games because you're in a rhythm and in your hurry up. But yeah, you can still use play clock even though you're playing faster. You know, you can't. Yeah. You're right. You don't want to go Texas Tech and 120 plays. You don't want to do that.
No, that's what Arizona's going to do next year. The Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury said he wants to hit 200 plays in a game.
Yeah, you know, Cliff ain't running 100. That's one thing, and I feel like that's a big difference between Dana and Cliff. If you look at West Virginia, I mean, they both grew up in the Texas Tech system with Mike Leach, right? And Dana coached him and all of that stuff. Cliff never left that. And one of the criticisms of Cliff was instead of winning football games, he wanted to run his offense. He wanted to run this is what we do. Well, but we got a two-touchdown lead. You need to slow it down. You need to run the football. You need to keep your defense off the field. But Cliff wouldn't change. If you go look at West Virginia, Dana is a 60-65 play guy. And yet it seems like, oh, they come from that from the same style of offense, but Dana knew I'd rather win football games and run the football. And he ran it plenty. A lot of the time, the last few years, he's about a 50-50 guy. So
it was way. It's such way. I've noticed a big difference with Dana. It's a way different situation now with how he operates, and I think it's smart. I had a conversation last night over dinner with a member of a team who said, you know, we were talking about Sean Payton, and we were talking about his decision to throw the football rather than run the football. And one guy goes, well, you know, said similar to what you said, like, you know, well, that's, you know, usually Drew Brees is going to complete that pass. That's what he does. And Sean Payton takes chances. And then the other guy goes, you know what? He goes, sometimes you don't have to prove you're the smartest guy in the room. No. We already know you're a smart guy if you're Sean Payton. He said, you proved it. You got a Super Bowl. We know how smart you are. Don't try to outsmart everybody. Make the mathematical play. And that's exactly what my opinion is, you know what, just put the odds in your favor to win this game. You're trying to go to a Super Bowl. You don't have to outsmart everybody. Grind out their timeouts and make them have to go, you know, 75 yards. Because if you kick it out of the end zone, it's a 75-yard drive with 1 minute, no timeouts, and they have to score a touchdown. Mathematically, I don't know what the percentage is. Somebody can text Daryl. But I can tell you that you probably win that game over 89% of the time. It's probably in the 9 out of 10 range if you just play the math and grind out their timeouts. But Sean had to be the smartest guy in the room. You know what I like about, and I've noticed this has been going on for at least 3 years with Dana Holgorsen, and there's some other coaches who are doing it too. Well, they figured out, you know, it's great to run plays, but sometimes we got to figure out when we got to dial it back. And, you know, I don't know if it's maybe who your opponent is or maybe who you have. I don't know what made Dana Holgorsen dial it back. But you're right. Cliff just keeps saying, hey, this is the style. This is what we do. This is how it works. And I'm going to stay true to it. If you don't adapt what you do as a coach at all, if you don't adapt what you do to your personnel or the changing times, then you're not going to have long-term success.
No.
And I've always thought Dana did a really good job of saying, hey, you know what? Let's not try to race to get 100 plays. Let's just try to call the right ones and run them right. And that's what they've done.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. Lance in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. We are here in studio, in the Cheers studio. If you want to give a call on the HRMP hotline, you're more than welcome. Or the call-in line, 713-780-3776. Right now, though, we're talking about being a champion. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be a champion. All you got to do is go to 1560energy.com. That's 1560energy.com. It's silly to me. It's just ridiculous to me that you would not want to save money when it takes about literally 5 to 10 minutes for you to save thousands of dollars a year. That's right. I mean, I can't even tell you how much money I've saved since I transferred over. Justin from Black Horse Limo did it, and he's like, this is unbelievable. It is just unbelievable how much you're saving. So all you got to do is go to 1560energy.com and start. Even though you're not using a lot of electricity now because you don't have your air on, you will. And oh, by the way, why not save all the time. 1560energy.com. That's 1560energy.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I gave you the referee's name who ran the group and who said to the pool reporter that it was a judgment call and he wasn't even sure what call they were talking about. If you were the referee of that game and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do, number one. Number two, they have to stay distant from the players.
Mike Francesa. That's what, the fan? Mike Francesa thought that that Photoshop of the referee and Todd Gurley exchanging jerseys was real. I mean, Mike Francesa's from another time, so.
Does he not have
he doesn't.
Younger producers or people who check social media and give him these give him the news? Because if you can simply look at the picture, I mean, just some quick detective work. You can see that Todd Gurley's in a blue pants, which means that was from the previous game. That's the first clue. And you can also look at the referee who's wearing gold pants and football socks, which would tell you that that is not the ref. That is a Saint lower half.
And his arms? Did you just look at the arms of the ref?
It's not even a great photo. Look, the shoulders are out. I don't know. Whatever.
That is so funny. Well, I don't think he ran it by them. Of course, Mike Francesa's producer and whatnot could be about his age.
Well, if he's going to look at social media as a way to, you know, add content, he might want to find someone who's adept at, you know, judging. Now, we all make mistakes, namely me, because I saw that Keith Jackson was dead when he died
a year before.
But at least with this, I can look at the picture and see there's no chance. The blue pants means that game was from a previous. Well, it was from
and
a previous
ref
game.
Ref isn't going to do that.
And no ref is going to do that.
I mean,
let's shut up and let Mike Francesa keep doing this stuff.
Well,
like whenever he said, anybody who thinks that Sam Darnold is the answer already is batty or is nuts or whatever somebody who's Mike Francesa would say. I think he's probably said batty. And then 2 hours later on his timeline, he goes, "I just got done watching practice." And I can tell you now, this Darnold kid is for real. And it was the greatest Mike Francesa thing. And the fact, there's a 100% chance he's got a 100-year-old producer. That's the problem.
Yeah,
here.
That is.
There's somebody who goes, don't say anything, so let him keep doing this stuff. Let him keep doing this.
Yeah, if it is
Mike,
a young guy.
Did you see this, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
Mike, do you see this, ref? That is unacceptable.
You know what he's got? He's got a Dell. He's got a Dell producer who doesn't like him, like our Dell producer.
Right.
And his Dell producer is intentionally like submarining him, just saying, Mike, you got to see this. Todd Gurley and the ref exchange jersey. What? Did you see this?
I don't go out of my way to make you look dumb
you
with fake stories.
You kept doing the microphone up and down on me earlier.
I set you up. I will point out your foibles because I enjoy doing that, but I'm not going to intentionally make you look bad. You do
I will
that
point
enough
out on, your foibles.
You do that enough on your own.
Such a Dell thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, after yesterday, Lance, do you think that the NFL might look into the replay rules?
After yesterday, what?
Well, I mean, the reaction across the world. NFL leaders in the league's rulemaking competition committee plan to consider making pass interference calls subject to challenges and replay review.
I think they'll look into it. I don't think anything will happen.
Oh, I do. I think this is going to spur change. I think that they're going to.
What do you do? You know how many times we're going to have to stop the. You know how many times we're going to have to stop the game?
Make it a challenge.
No, I get it. But I just think it's going to be challenged left and right, left and right, left
well,
and
no,
right.
You only got so many challenges. I mean,
what? You guys are going to be super pissed off when you something you think is a penalty is not, because this is even more subjective than anything fumble-related. This is truly subjective because they already let things go, right? Like down the field, they let some things go between cornerback, the hand fighting and stuff like that. You're going to be able to find it a ton. And then I would say, why not start reviewing holding non-holding calls that don't get called? Why don't we start doing that? Like, that's a pretty slippery slope when you start, because there's a lot of times where they let things go, they let them play, and it could be a ticky-tack little interference, and people are going to go bananas, and they're just going to keep saying, the refs blew it again. Look at this clear interference. Dude, there's clear interferences on a lot of plays that don't get called. And you know how I know? I watch this stuff on tape, and I'm like, man, I can't believe this gets allowed. Like, in college, they let you murder people. The cornerbacks are allowed to murder. And I think they basically said, this just isn't fair for defenses. College offenses are not fair. We're just going to let defenses mug down the field. And I just, there's a lot more contact than people realize, and I just think they're going to be complaining about every single time the officials are going to get blown up about, look what happened, they blew it again. They blew it again. I just think it's going to be hard
to do that. Yeah, but I think you limit it. I mean, you got a challenge, or in the last couple of minutes, if it's upstairs and it's obvious and you're going to, you know, you've got a play that looks like it's something that the upstairs referee can review, I think you do it. But not the whole game. I don't think you do.
Do you let the team make a challenge, or do you let the – does it have to
in
be
the
like
last
college
2 minutes,
the control
I think,
center does
In
it?
The last 2 minutes, I think you let upstairs do it. But during the game, I think – and if it's a huge call, if it's a huge call in a big part – you know what? That's going to be one of your coaching challenges. Okay. Well, you just challenged, but you used one of your coaching challenges. Okay? Because it could be a huge call and in the second quarter – that changes a game. That's a 60-yard pass that you know it could have been an interference, and we could score here. And well, are you going to use it there, or are you going to wait until the game is tight at the end of the game, and I need it then? We'll see.
I look at it as like baseball. So there's clear fumble rules, there's clear catch rules, all that stuff, right? Clearly targeting stuff, whatever that you can find. To me, holdings and I mean offsides is clear or whatever, but holdings and interference calls are two that you're going to have them on a lot of plays.
Well, how about you just limit it to pass interference? You know, there's no holding.
It's, well, no, I'm giving you an example of, I think those are like baseball strike zones. I think every official is a little different on what they'll let you get away with, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with there being a little bit of leeway given, because you can't just call everything. Just like in basketball, you can't call everything. And I think in baseball, we know there's slightly different strike zones. Oh. And they don't review balls and strikes. And those are huge. Those can – bases loaded, no outs, and then a guy strikes out on something that looked like it was an inch or two off the plate. That doesn't get reviewed in baseball. I kind of look at it the same way. Because obviously what happened in the Saints, you'd love to see that get called and overturned. I just think you can't just say – well, if there's something like this, because you have to open it up. Your rules have to be clearly stated. Pass interferences are allowed to be challenged. That, and once that happens, to me, that's like challenging strike zones a little bit. They're not going
to
get it right.
Not to me. Not to me. Strike zone and pass interference, I disagree. I think the pass interference, because it's so prevalent in the game right now, and it is subjective, don't get me wrong, but it has such a huge effect, especially in the NFL. In college, it's 15 yards, and you know, and you go back and it's not nearly as penal. But if you throw a 70-yard pass and you got a pass interference, that's a 70-yard play that could have a huge effect. And this play had a huge effect, and it's not like it's not happening. The CFL does review pass interference penalties. So it's not like there isn't something. I think they could take a look, probably go study the CFL, see the way that they're doing it, and see what's happening with it. But I think that this will spur on a look at, and forget holding penalties. I don't think you can do that. I think that's more balls and strikes in what you're talking about. But pass, interfe- pass interference is much more, I think, obvious and something that that is much more controversial because of how penal it is when it happens way down the field. All right, 742 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, Lance in Mobile. We'll talk a little bit about that here on ESPN 97.5. But right now, I got to talk about 4hymns.com, 4hymns.com. Listen, it can be awfully expensive. It can be awfully expensive for you to get started trying to improve your love life. Because if you have any issues right now, if you have any issues whatsoever right now, then you're probably, now there's a doubt in your mind and you're saying, what should I do? Oh my God, I don't want that to happen again. If you've ever had a failure to launch, then all you got to do is go to 4hymns.com/John5, 4hymns.com/John5. And listen, you can do it on your own time. It's on your laptop. It's on your computer. You talk to a doctor. He gets you set up with generic equivalents of the same thing with the same ingredients, and you just spend less money. How about $5 for the first month? That's ridiculously low, especially when you look at how much it's going to cost you for the name brand. That's ridiculous. It is ridiculous how much they're charging now. So you save all kinds of money, and you still get the same great results, and you feel confident every time that you head to the boudoir. All you got to do is go to 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5.
ESPN 97.5.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Whatever this is on, let me drop some bits like this here.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5. John Lance is in Mobile. Me and Del are here in the Cheers studio. And you can call via the HRP. Listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get Brian in here. He wants to talk about reviewing penalties. Hey, Brian.
Hey, morning, guys. Quick question for you on all this replay, on all the stuff going on right now with this NFC, AFC championship games this past weekend. There's a couple petitions going around on social media talking about if we get X amount of signatures, the NFL could possibly have a rematch between the Saints and the Rams. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on it and if that's even possible.
No. No, that's not happening.
My
daughter sent it
Saints,
to me.
She's over, Saints. It's over.
Yeah. My daughter sent it to me for me to sign. Frankie, who's in, she's at LSU. And she's
Did you sign it?
She is the Saints' number one fan, and her life is ruined because she watched a game this year. Anyway, so, yeah, I didn't sign it. Frankie, it's over. The game's over. They're not going back. They're not going to go back at the spot of the foul with a minute left in the game. They're not going to replay the game. None of that is going to happen.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I know, but Frankie's devastated. And she's yesterday, again, sent me some. Frankie, it's not happening, little girl. All right, we're just going to move on, and hopefully the LSU baseball team can do something this year. That's all.
Okay. That's what you're leaning on?
Well, yeah, LSU baseball.
Ooh, is she going to go to an LSU baseball game?
Probably not. No. She didn't go to one LSU football game. Why would she? She didn't go to a
number one fan
tailgating outside of LSU baseball.
She didn't go to it was one Saints game, but she's their number one fan.
But do they tailgate outside of LSU baseball? She'll at least be around.
Yes,
the stadium.
They tailgate outside of LSU baseball.
She'll
yes.
be around the stadium.
Yes,
then she'll go home.
Yeah, no. She goes home and naps after a tailgating. That's what she does. She didn't make one football game. She tailgates for 7 hours and then goes takes a nap. That's the number one fan. Anyway, yeah, that's not happening. Bear Brian, but sorry, but that's not happening.
Saints fans, you guys got to let it go.
Let it go.
I mean, I understand it hurts, but you've won a Super Bowl in the last 10 years, right? When did they win?
Yeah.
Yeah. Embrace that. When the Super Bowl is on about two Sundays from today, actually 2 Sundays from today, I'm sure you guys have it saved, or it's probably on YouTube. When the Super Bowl starts, just go to YouTube and watch the complete Saints versus Colts game over. That's how you occupy your Sunday, so you don't have to hear about what the Rams and Pats are doing, and you already know the ending. You know you're not going to get screwed. You're going to win.
Yeah, you won.
So I would suggest just watch that game during Super Bowl Sunday.
So, yeah, but I'll tell you this. It is, as far as sports goes, like Charlie was talking about it yesterday with the Cleveland Browns back with the drive and then the fumble by Ernest Biner. This is as a two-year span of the, how your season has ended. This is as rough as it's gotten.
Oh, it burns. I know.
Oh, sure, my God. I don't know that we, besides maybe that Brown, those two Browns finishes with the Broncos, that we can think of a time when a team has gotten their heart ripped out like this.
Oh, I can.
Who?
I can. Houston. Oh. The Houston Oilers.
Oh, what about University of Houston?
Where they got beat in Denver when they had fourth down, and they had Denver beat in Denver. And I think it was Richard Johnson just started, Elway started scrambling, and the cornerback just left his man and ran up to try to tackle Elway, who was only scrambling out of the pocket. And Elway completed a pass, and they ended up beating the Oilers. And, of course, you know what happened the following year. Or you could go 3 years in a row where you went the Denver loss, the Buffalo loss, and then the Kansas City loss, you didn't have your guts ripped out. But now this one is worse because this was for the Super Bowl. But I'd say the Oilers had a three-year run, but I would say 2 years, Buffalo and that Denver game, where it was like ripped from your heart at the end of the game.
Yeah, what was the play called?
I can't remember.
Skylar Diggins?
I called it dumbass
Stagger Lee.
Stagger
Lee.
Oh, yeah, but that was the Stagger Lee play was just a play. That was a different game. That was in the lockout year.
Oh, that wasn't that one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is 92, and this is one of the really, really good teams. And they had Elway in the Denver beat in Denver, and Elway completed a fourth down pass because the cornerback left his man to come chase John Elway, and he had an easy throw. They drove down and scored a touchdown. Houston was going to win and move on. It was one of their most talented teams. The next year, Buffalo happened. Those back-to-back years really gutted the franchise. Then you finished it with a Kansas City debacle against Joe Montana, and then you have an owner saying, "Well, I'm going to leave town if I don't get even more money, if I don't get a new stadium." And the city just said, "Beat it. We're done with you." They got so mad. I don't see the Saints fans telling the Saints to leave town. I don't see that happening, but this back-to-back-to-back heart-wrenching stuff, I mean, I've never seen anything like the Saints get beat. Marcus Williams, an atrocious mistake last year. And then the officials rob you? It honestly doesn't get worse than this. Mm-mm. I've never seen it worse than this for one fan base in 2 years, ever.
I'm watching that play right now, as a matter of fact. I just pulled it up. Elway steps up, and Richard Johnson leaves his guy, and he just throws it over his head.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, we were like, what are you doing? And Houston was so deep. They were so talented then. And then that plan B free agency started
gutting
them.
Well, here's why. The play before, though, Elway, or
what down was it?
A couple plays before, Elway that steps up just like that and picks up about 10 yards on a first down. And so it doesn't show the play. Yeah, I see. I'm looking at it. It doesn't say what down and distance. It was 1992. They didn't,
because there were no graphics on TV.
They had no graphics.
You didn't know anything.
Nothing.
You were totally in the dark.
Yes, every play.
What quarter is it? How much time? What's the score? Oh, you don't have that. Where's the first down line?
No, there was nothing. None of that. None of it. Yeah, Elway steps
up. Were the shoulder pads? Did it run like 1 foot on either side of his actual shoulder?
Yes. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Did he take a 10-step drop?
He sure did. He absolutely did. And then ran up. And Rich Carlos hit the game winner? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Whoever. Oh, no, it was Treadwell. Oh, well.
And I was waiting tables in a restaurant in both of those games, and, like, the whole place turned so sour. The wait staff, the fans, I mean, the people who were eating dinner, the management, just everyone turned so super sour. I'm telling you now, it just isn't the same way with the Texans as it was with the Oilers. And I know why. It's because they haven't had those high highs, but
never been. Well,
we just
I mean,
your whole day, everything was completely ruined by the Oilers.
Well, here's the difference. Look at that 11-game run in 93. I mean, that team, look at the players that were on it. Look how good they were. Look how unbelievably talented that team was. And this city was on fire because this year's 11-game run, 11-2 run, meh. I mean, honestly, it's night and day. Well, but look at the talent level on those two. I mean, look at the guys that you had playing on those two teams. It really is. I mean, that was that team could have easily won a championship. That 93 team that lost to Joe Montana here could have easily won. That team that lost to Buffalo could have easily won. That's how good they were. When did we say, oh, this Texans team's the best in football?
Never.
No.
No, I don't know. Maybe 2011, 2000.
Well,
not 2011. Yeah, maybe 2011 or 2012 we were saying it.
Yeah. That was fool's. That was fool's gold.
No, not 2011. When fool's gold, yeah. You just didn't have Matt Schaub.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say, oh, yeah, we didn't have Matt Schaub. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Because you know you're a champion when you got Matt Schaub.
I mean, not typically.
Well, okay. That's exactly the point. You had Warren Moon.
But just don't screw it up.
Yeah, I get it.
Just don't screw it up. That's all he had to not do was just not turn it over. T.J. Yates couldn't do that.
No, right. Well, but yeah. I mean, they were good. They were good football teams, but they weren't the best teams in football.
They had really good defense back then.
Yeah, they did.
And Arian Foster was a dominant runner, and their offensive line dominated.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. No question.
Had Andre Johnson, right, still playing at a relatively high level.
Yeah. No. That was a good team. Don't get me wrong, but someone 3780-3776 Lance. What about your patio? Think about are you missing your patio right now?
It's not. Yeah, here we go. I am missing my patio. Texas Custom Patios, tcplance.com. I know a lot of you guys have gone to check out the patio and what it looks like, and it's awesome. You can go see the fire pit, and you can go see the big screen TV back there. It's a great place to watch a game. It's a great place to go have drinks. It's a great place for the kids to go out and eat pizza and just hang out and experience the Houston weather. And, of course, you've got the sound system. You get the fans in there to get the breeze going. Make your house a home. Make your home a place that you really want to hang out and you want to live and spend time at Texas Custom Patios. They can design it for you. They'll show you exactly what it's going to look like, and then they build it. And the quality of the construction is off the charts. Go to tcplance.com. Just see what they did for me. And then you'll see the before and after. And then think about what they can do for you. It really is a game changer, and I think you guys are going to love it. At tcplance.com, that's Texas Custom Patios, building the finest room additions and structures like outdoor living spaces, outdoor kitchens, sunrooms that you can possibly find in the state of Texas. Texas Custom Patios or tcplance.com.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.